TY's 20 is on the air. What's up, ladies and gents? Tyler Smith coming at you live on WordPress Radio. And it's time for this month's podcast. And we're doing this month's show a little bit early, thanks to the Thanksgiving holiday. And we usually have our show at the end of each month. So, about a week early for the month of November. And as always, lots to talk about on the show today. Later in the show, we're going to talk about new Cubs manager Dale Swaim. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA lockout. We'll also discuss the new rules in Major League Baseball. But we're going to begin this month's show with having a segment on the Indiana Hoosiers basketball team. Joining us now is Hoosiers insider Nathan Hazel. And Nathan was in person and covering the IU Evansville game this past week. So Nathan, why don't you begin by telling us how the Hoosiers looked up close and personal?
The way they performed. There's a lot of things that you don't see whenever you're watching on television, and there's just things that stick out whenever you're in person. And a couple of things that stood out was the fact that these guys are just hungry. They want to kind of wipe away the past couple of years and start anew, and it's obvious that they're on their way to doing that. Some things I picked up on outside of the actual game itself is just the bench. The way they are, the way they're involved in the process of the game, you see guys standing up coaching. There was one point in the game, early in the game, when every single player on the bench was up saying and pointing and jumping and kind of playing an active role from that standpoint, which is really cool to see. It's almost like Green has finally got these guys to where he wants them to be as a family and as a unit. And so that's why I think you're seeing some of the things we're seeing now and having some success and putting guys away and not allowing them to come back into the game once we do put them away. And that's because we've gotten to the point where they're sticking together. There's a brotherhood now that goes beyond the game itself. So I was impressed with a lot of things during the course of that game.
Good stuff. Now they're off to a 3-0 start, which was expected, but they did look really impressive against an Evansville team that had just knocked off Butler a week prior. And you can say what you want about Butler being down this year, but they're giving Louisville all they can handle today, and Louisville's ranked 8th in the country. But I love personally what Dan Dockich has been saying. He's saying that it's not really who IU is playing, it's how IU is playing. And we're seeing that, you know, they're basically a different basketball team in the early part of this year. And I think a lot of people want to give credit to Cody Zeller, and rightfully so. Even when he's not getting touches down low, he does so much for this team, being a presence, being a good passer, good defender, getting putbacks. And I think he makes everyone around him better. But I think it's safe to say the improvement of this team will not be just because of Cody Zeller. Am I right here? I mean, are guys improving as well?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Cody is a game changer, there's no doubt about it. Without him, I do think we would be good. We wouldn't be as dangerous, but he would still have to prepare to beat us, which is not like it's been the last couple of years. We should be 3-0. We were expected to be 3-0, but if you look at the things that we've done inside of those three games, it's something that Hoosier fans have not seen in quite some time. And Cody has played a huge part in that. But it's just so obvious how guys on this team have just taken their game to the next level. I feel like we have a team full of gym rats, and you can tell just by looking at them and their bodies and how they've kind of matured in that area over the year. You can tell that they're taking advantage of the best facility in all of college basketball at Cook Hall, and you can tell that they're putting in countless hours there and getting shots up, and you have guys performing at a very, very high rate based off what they've done the past couple of years. You have guys like Victor Oladipo, and you have guys like Will Sheehy, not to mention guys like Verdell Jones and Christian Watford and Jordan Hall. You have guys who are very capable of being the guy day in and day out. And so it's not just Cody Zeller, but he is a huge factor in getting those guys opportunities. Spreading the court, he is a factor inside. People have to take him into consideration whether he touches the ball or not. And I think it's I did not think we would be this far along in three games because they haven't had an opportunity to play with Cody that much. And it has been huge to see how well they're playing off of him and through him. And it's just something that I think only got improved upon throughout the course of the year. They have not had the opportunity to play through or go with a big guy like we have now. And that's been one of our biggest hurdles up to this point, is not having that. And now that we have it, there needs to be a little bit more improvement, because they're not used to having him. There's still times where we go several possessions without giving Cody a touch or getting him the ball down low or running something through him or off of him. But that's only going to come as they get used to each other more and more throughout the year. But we're way ahead of schedule. We are putting guys away, and it's been very impressive.
Absolutely, and like you said, it's only going to get better with time. Now, last time that I had you on this podcast, we were discussing how IU basketball is actually right where we thought it would be last season. Now, last year we thought they'd win more games, but fans can't forget that they lost their 7-footer and they lost Maurice Creek, and it could have been an NIT team last year if they had those guys. But the way this program had to start over from nothing, I think you and I both agree that some fans, including some of our own, were kind of overreacting, being a little too impatient with the progress. Now
that's been one of my biggest frustrations, is the overreaction from our own fans. There's a lot of people who can look at our program and say what they want, but it was coming from some of our own guys. A lot of our own people were talking about how they're not satisfied with where we are. But I guarantee you, much like we said about a year ago, that there's no other program in the nation, with the exception of maybe a Kentucky or North Carolina, that can go through all the things we went through and get back to this point in just a few years. So that speaks for what this university is all about, the basketball program. It's not just a game in this state.
I'm not sure if you've had a chance to check out the schedule much. I've had a chance to look at it. I just kind of want to ask now, give us your prediction for how many wins this team ends up with, and maybe include your prediction for any possible postseason play. I know it's a little more difficult to do in college. It's tough to say how a team's going to be after watching three games, but what do you think at this point?
You and I agreed not too long ago that this team would be a bubble team. And I still think we will be a bubble team. And so that would ideally put us around the 18 to 21 win season, based upon kind of who we beat if we have some signature wins. We can't have any losses that we've had in the past couple of years where we let a team like Iowa come in and beat us by a couple points. We can't let those. We don't have a lot of room for error, but at the same time, we do have the possibility to strike a seat in the big dance. With that being said, there are a lot of Big Ten and ESPN and all these guys are predicting where we will sit in the Big Ten. And preseason-wise, we were from anywhere from 5 to 9. Majority of them had us around 8 or 9. And I will tell you this, there's teams like Purdue that at every single poll, they were above us. You see them, and they got a guy in Robbie Hummel that can certainly be a game changer, but they have been looking like we have looked the past couple of years. They're struggling against the game against Iona the other day went down to a last-second shot. If you're going to finish in the top half of the Big Ten, you've got to be putting teams like that away, and that is exactly what we're doing. There are no Iona giving us games anymore. More should they, but at the same time, I do think we'll leave a couple of those spots where people had a Big Ten and the preseason Big Ten polls. So if we finish 5 or 6, I think we have a legitimate chance to enter into the Big Ten. And I think that's green's expectations. I think these guys have something to prove. We can talk a lot about the 2012 movement class. We'll save that for next year. There'll be a lot of excitement with that. But I think this team right now has something to prove. They're probably thinking, where's all the talk about us? Why have we not been mentioned? Everybody's talking about the 2012 class and the movement. So they've got something to prove, and they've got a chip on their shoulder, and they're certainly playing like that. And it would not surprise me one bit if these guys don't do what it takes and put in the extra time and the extra scouting opportunities to get to know their opponent. And to give us an opportunity to play in that big dance, because it's something that a lot of Hoosier fans probably weren't expecting, and they've got that chip on their shoulder, and they're ready to attack.
I agree. Now, when I looked at the schedule beginning of the year, I was thinking 18 or 19 wins before the Big Ten tournament. It could be a situation where we need to make some noise in that conference tournament to make the big dance, which would be a great thing, very exciting if that happens. I do think that we need to stay healthy and keep Zeller out of foul trouble. And as you kind of mentioned earlier, we've got to find a way to win some close ones, because there's going to be, especially in conference play, a lot of close games. And IU, even in the past few years, has been in a lot of close ones, and they just have not hit the big shot except for a couple games here and there. So that's the key to me. I do think we'll knock off some ranked opponents, which will be necessary to make the big dance, but it's definitely going to be an exciting year. We got one more question for you, Nathan, which is a question that you actually brought to me a few weeks ago. Now that the program is returning, are you actually glad the stuff with Sampson happened in a way, or would you have rather had that stuff not happen, which means Sampson would probably still be here?
There's no doubt that Sampson was probably, at that time, one of the premier coaches in the nation. But he did not do things the right way, and I know that you can probably justify some of the things he did with the phone calls, because even now it just came out where that's not even a rule anymore. So essentially, we went through a couple of years of sanctions and violations and cutting off, basically starting from scratch and playing with 9 walk-ons, and you went through all of that, and it's kind of bittersweet because we walked through all that stuff. We finally got kind of halfway through it, and now they're going to say that's not even a big deal in their minds. So it kind of sucks because we've been put in a situation that just a couple of years later is not even that big of a deal. But hindsight is 2020, and I can promise you there's no way I would have chosen to go through that. It's been a brutal couple of years. I can't stand those years. It'll be a year that we look back on, in my opinion, and we're thankful because it's gotten a guy in charge of our program that needs to be there. He's doing things the right way. He's got our GPAs. We're like one of the best academic teams in the country right now. We've got class acts. We got guys who can get in front of the microphone and get in front of the camera and actually have a lot of character and respect about them. What we have now goes far beyond basketball, and so that's what I appreciate. There's no way Kelvin Sampson would have recruited the state like Tom Crean, and that means a lot to Hoosier fans. He bypassed the state of Indiana, and Crean has taken it to heart to make sure that we at least make it an incredibly hard decision for someone to turn us down from our own state, and that's exactly what he's done, and that's what I think people love. So hindsight, looking back, we're going to absolutely love our future. And we probably would have, 10 years from now, we're probably going to say it was well worth it, because now we got something we can be proud of. Now the whole state's on board with what we got going on. If none of this would have happened, we probably would still have several people saying, well, we got a guy who can't be trusted. We got a guy who just doesn't pass the smell test. We got a guy who doesn't recruit the state. Well, now we have a guy who we're not going to be able to say too many things bad about it. So, and he recruits players that are just like him. And there's probably no coach in America that will outwork. They can probably outsmart him in a couple areas, but there's no one that will outwork Tom Crean. And that's the player that he recruits. He gets guys that imitate his character and his work ethic. And that's what Hoosier fans are going to come to love.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. This one's actually really tough for me, especially having suffered through the last 3 or 4 years. Love the direction we're headed. Love having four-year players. Love having hardworking teams. I love everything you said about recruiting in the state of Indiana. I do think Sampson would have had a lot of success here, and I think we would have been good pretty much every year. And obviously the program wouldn't have been getting ridicule for all these years. Not as much, of course, but and I do think there will be some people that will continue to ridicule us no matter what, but it's a tough call. I think it's easy for you and I both to say that the problem is almost over, and we can both agree we're very happy with this team and where they're going. So thank you so much, Nathan, for joining us, talking Hoosier basketball, and we'll talk again later in the season.
All right, man. I hope to see you in Bloomington this weekend.
All right. All right, moving on now to our next topic. The Chicago Cubs have a new manager. His name is Dale Swaim. And there's a lot of fans who don't know much about this guy, and here's what I keep telling them. I keep telling everyone that I trust Theo Epstein, and you should too. 9 years ago, his managerial candidates in Boston were Terry Francona and Joe Maddon. Each of them were first-time managers, and they have both been incredible in Boston and Tampa Bay. Theo knows what he's doing. Now, he wanted to find the next Francona, and he believes that Swaim is the guy. Now, to me, Dale Swaim is different than any manager we've ever had since I've been alive. And considering we've never won much of anything, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Everybody sounds impressive at their opening press conference, but he seems like a guy who's very sincere, a guy that will demand respect from his players. He demands that they play the game the right way. He wants to hold players accountable. And everybody in the game and their mother says he's an excellent communicator. So he doesn't have to sound great with the media to sound great with the players. That's the more important thing. How is he with the players? Now, I will say this. He is a hitting-minded coach. So the Cubs really, really, really need to find a good pitching coach to go with him. And we'll know more about the coaching staff that Dale chooses after Thanksgiving. But Cubs fans need to give this guy a chance. I know he's not Ryan Sandberg. I know he's not a big name. But this is a new era in Cubs baseball. And he is highly respected all over baseball. He was Boston's number one choice also for their managerial position. Now, the Cardinals hired Mike Matheny, who could end up being a great manager. He'll probably end up winning like 10,000 games knowing the Cardinals. But Matheny is a much greater risk than Dale Swaim is. We got to remember that. I know last year I said around this time that I was okay with the hire of Mike Quatty. I didn't predict he would become a long-term manager for us. And he ended up not being that great of a manager, to be honest with you. But I feel extremely confident in Dale Swaim, much more confident than Quatty. And again, we've got to trust Theo. We brought him in to do things his way, to bring in his guys, and it's time to go to work. And it's been an interesting offseason already with all of these press conferences and news about who's going to be our manager and management, and it's about to heat up even more as we find out which players the Cubs are going to go after this winter. Sticking with the topic of baseball, there's a new CBA agreement in baseball released this past week. And what this means is the Houston Astros, after one more season in the National League Central, will move to the American League West. Now, as a Cub fan, I'm kind of disappointed that they're taking the Astros away from us. It's one of the few teams we've been able to beat up on over the years. But at the same time, this is good for baseball in that every division will now have five teams in it, which makes things much more fair. I think interleague play will be watered down a bit, considering there will be an odd number of teams in each league, which means there will have to be at least one interleague series being played every day. So that may water it down a little bit. But as far as the schedule and balance goes, it'll be better for the game. Now, what this also does with an even number of teams in each league, this means that they can open up the opportunity for an additional wild card team. And I'm really not sure how I feel about this, because the two teams that win the wild card would then play a one-game playoff to see who makes the playoffs. The good news is this means it's much more important to win your division. So you take a look at the American League East and how Boston and New York seem to make the playoffs about every year, and they usually don't even care who wins the division, who wins the wild card, because they know they're just going to make the playoffs. That will not be the case any longer. You will need to win your division if you don't want to go to that sudden-death playoff game. This will also involve more cities in the pennant race, which is always a good thing. It's always exciting. Where it's not good is, let's say you are the first wildcard team and you're five games ahead of the second place wildcard team, and then you have to play them and they have a better pitcher going and they beat you in the one-game playoff, you're not going to be too happy about it. And if I'm a fan of that team, I'm going to be pretty upset that my team did not make the playoffs, even though I feel like they earned that. But it's going to be interesting, and you know, it's one of those things where you can have an opinion on it at first, but until it happens, you may not really be sure how you feel about it. So we'll see how it goes. And again, that's something that could be in effect as early as this coming season or at the very latest in 2013. So we'll talk more about that as it gets closer and as more news comes from the newest agreement in Major League Baseball. One final topic on TY's 20 today. I wish we were talking about how the Pacers and the other NBA teams were doing at this point in the season, but they still haven't played, and it doesn't seem like they're going to play anytime soon. And the only thing I really want to say is I believe that the owners are the major ones at fault here. You can't put all the blame on them because the players could have done more too. There's a lot of greed going around on both sides. But I followed the talks very closely, especially in the past month, and it seems like to me the owners are about 80% at fault and the players are about 20% at fault. The players gave up a lot. They used to make 57%. They lowered it all the way down to 50%. That's a big chunk of change that they're giving up. If only the owners would have given a little bit more on some of the system issues, I think we'd be playing basketball right now. The owners came back with an offer. The players rejected, which not only puts this season in jeopardy, it puts the NBA in complete jeopardy. We're talking players' contracts could be voided through this lawsuit. We're talking maybe even two seasons canceled by the time it's all said and done. Now, I'm an optimist. I'm hoping that as players start to miss paychecks and as owners start to lose some money, that they finally come together, give it one more shot, give this season one more shot, have a shortened season, come to a nice agreement, and then go from there. But right now, it's tough to be optimistic with the latest things that have been said. There are no new talks that are scheduled, probably at least until December. And as a fan who was really excited for this Pacers season coming up and for the NBA in general, it's very, very disappointing to sit back and watch a lot of people who have a lot of money be greedy and not give the fans what they want. So that's what I got to say about that. I appreciate you listening to the show. Join us next month. Who knows what will happen in the sports world by then. As Harry Carey once always said, only the shadow knows. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.